Well then, when I asked the venerable Haji Asvat Truv about the methods of obtaining the gas and electric lighting in this underground kingdom of his, he related the following. These two kinds of lighting have entirely different origins, and each of them has its own separate story. Gas lighting existed here almost from the very beginning and was installed on my initiative and that of my old friend, the dervish Kerbalay Aziz Nuarian. As for electric lighting, it has brought here quite recently on the initiative of another friend of mine of European origin, who is still a young man. I think it would be better if I tell you the story of each kind of lighting separately. I will begin with the gas lighting. When we first moved here, there was a holy place not far away called the Sacred Grotto, to which pilgrims and devotees used to throng from all over Turkestan. The popular belief was that there had once lived in this cave the famous Kadralav, who later was taken up alive into heaven. It was further said in this popular belief that he was taken alive into heaven so unexpectedly that he even had no time to extinguish the fire that lit his cave. And this last belief was supported by the fact that in that cave there was indeed an undying fire. And so, friend of my friend, as neither I nor my friend, the dervish Kerbalay Aziz Nuarian, could give credence to this popular belief, we decided to probe into the real cause of that unusual phenomenon. Having at that time sufficient material resources at our disposal and also the conditions necessary for the investigation of this phenomenon, without hindrance from anyone, we set about trying to discover its origin. It turned out that not far from that cave was an underground stream which washed over a bed of minerals, whose combined action on the water resulted in the separation of an inflammable gas, which found its way into the cave through chance crevices in the ground. And this gas, somehow becoming ignited, must obviously have been the cause of that undying fire. When my friend and I had made this clear to ourselves, and had also discovered that this source was located not far from our cave, we decided to provide an artificial outlet for this gas into our cave, and ever since then this gas has flowed through the clay pipes we laid into the main part of the cave, and from there we have distributed it by means of bamboo canes, according to our needs. As for the origin of the electric lighting in our cave, its history is as follows. Soon after we had settled here, there once came to see me, through a very old friend of mine who was also a dervish, a young European traveler who sought my acquaintance in order to discuss these same laws of vibrations which interested me. We soon became close friends, as he turned out to be very serious in his search for truth, and also very kind and sensitive in regard to the weaknesses of all others without exception. He was studying the laws of vibration in general, but his research was primarily concerned with the vibrations that cause various diseases in people. These studies of his led him to discover, among other things, the cause in people of the disease they name cancer, and the possibility of destroying this malignant arising. He then established and verified, in practice, the possibility that by a certain mode of life and a specific preparation, any man can consciously elaborate certain vibrations in himself, by means of which, if he can saturate the afflicted person in a certain way and at a certain definite time, this terrible disease can be destroyed entirely. After he left, we did not meet again for a long time, but we always had news of each other. I knew that soon after we parted, this young friend of mine married in his native country, and during the following years lived with his wife in full family love and mutual moral support, as we say here in Asia. I was particularly interested in receiving news of his achievements with the means he had discovered for destroying in people the aforesaid curse, since the causes of these vibrations that crystallize factors for that disease were closely related to the causes of those vibrations whose study had become the chief interest in my life. I already knew that these means he had discovered for the destruction of this disease were not yet commonly accessible. However, according to frequent trustworthy reports, I learned that he himself made use of these means for those who fell ill, which, although impracticable for others, had always achieved the complete destruction of this terrible human scourge. I received accurate information about the favorable results he achieved in several dozen cases during that time. Then, for reasons not depending on either of us, I had no information about that young European for about 10 years. I was even beginning to forget his existence entirely when one day, while I was specially absorbed in my occupations, I heard someone give our secret signal, and when I called and asked who was there, I at once recognized his voice. He asked me to open the passage for him so that he could enter our underground domain. Needless to say, we were both very glad to meet again and to exchange views once more on our beloved science of the laws of vibrations. When the emotion aroused by our meeting had abated and we had unpacked all the things my young friend had brought on camels, which included, by the way, one of the famous European Rentgen apparatuses, about 50 Bunsen elements, a number of accumulators, and several bales, different materials for electric wiring. And we began to talk quietly. From what he recounted about himself, I learned with great sadness the following. Several years before, when, on account of world laws surrounding conditions and circumstances, became such that scarcely anywhere on the earth did people have any security for the morrow or any settled dwelling place, he suddenly noticed the symptoms in his beloved wife of that awful disease whose cure had been one of the chief aims of his existence. He was particularly horrified because the surrounding conditions prevented him from employing the treatment he had discovered for the destruction of that terrible disease, and which so far he alone could carry out. When he had somewhat regained his composure after this terrible realization, he made the only possible decision to wait patiently for a more favorable time, and meanwhile to try to create for his wife conditions of life in which the progress of that malignant disease would be slowed down as much as possible. More than 2 years passed. During this time, the surrounding conditions changed for the better, and at last it became possible for my young friend to prepare himself to employ the means known only by him for combating that dreadful disease. But while he was preparing himself to administer the cure, on one sorrowful day for him, during some demonstration in one of the large European cities, he was jostled by the crowd and knocked down by an automobile, and although he was not killed, he was very seriously injured. Owing to these injuries, his own life flowed for several months in an unconscious state, and because he was unable to give a conscious and intentional direction to the ordinary life of his wife, the process of her disease developed at an accelerated tempo. All the more so because, since his accident, she took constant and anxious care of him without sparing herself. And when this poor young friend of mine finally regained consciousness, he saw, to his horror, that the process of the disease in his wife was already in the last stages. What could he do? What could be done? The consequences of his injuries deprived him of any possibility to prepare himself and to elaborate in himself that quality of vibrations necessary for the means he had discovered for destroying this human curse. Thereupon, seeing no other way, he resolved to have recourse to the treatment employed by the representatives of contemporary European medicine, which, according to their conviction, can destroy that disease. In other words, he decided to have recourse to what are called X-rays. So the treatment with X-rays was begun. In the course of the treatment, he noticed that whereas the principal concentration or center of gravity of the disease in his wife's body was becoming, as it were, atrophied, at the same time, a similar concentration was beginning to form in a different part of her body. After several months of repeated sessions, as they are called in Europe, a third independent concentration made its appearance in still another place, and finally, the time came when the days of the invalid were numbered. Faced with this horror, my young friend decided to abandon all the wiseacring of contemporary European medicine, and without consideration for his own state, he began to elaborate in himself the necessary vibrations and to saturate the invalid's body with them. In spite of almost insurmountable difficulties, he succeeded in prolonging the existence of his wife for almost 2 years. Nevertheless, she finally died of that terrible human disease. It must be added that during the last stage of the illness, when he had already given up the wiseacring of European medicine, two new independent concentrations were observed in the body of his wife. When my young friend had somewhat recovered after that terrible outcome, he devoted part of his time to his beloved studies and research on the great world laws, and he applied himself particularly finding out why it was that during the treatment of the cancer by X-rays, there had arisen in his wife's body those independent concentrations which usually do not develop in this disease, and which in his long years previous study he had never come across before. Since it turned out to be very complicated to investigate this problem, and moreover impracticable in the surrounding conditions in which he was living, he decided to come to me and, with my help, solve it by experiment. And that was why he had brought all the necessary materials with him for these experiments. The next day, I put at his disposal one of the sections of our underground domain, as well as several what are called Salmamursian goats, and everything else he might need for this research. Among other preparations, he first put the Rntgen apparatus into operation by means of the Bunsen elements. And 3 days after his arrival, he made a discovery which led to the origin of the permanent electric lighting in our cave. And it began in the following way. While we were making certain experiments using my vibrometers and were calculating the vibrations of the electric current that produced X-rays in the Rntgen apparatus, we noticed that the number of vibrations of the current obtained by means of these Bunsen elements sometimes increased and sometimes diminished. And since it was of the greatest importance for our investigations to have a uniform number of vibrations in a given time interval of the flow of the current, it was soon obvious to us that this sort of electric current was absolutely useless for our purposes. This realization very much discouraged and depressed my young friend. He immediately discontinued his experiments and began to think. The following 2 days, he thought unceasingly, even while eating. At the end of the third day, as we were going together to the chamber where we usually took our meals, and were crossing the little bridge over an underground stream in the main part of the cave, he suddenly stopped and, striking his forehead, cried out excitedly, "Eureka!" The outcome of that exclamation was that on the next day, with the help of several Tajiks he had hired, he transported from some ancient and abandoned mines nearby lumps of three kinds of ore, the largest that could be moved, and these were placed in a certain order in the bed of our underground stream. Then, after laying the ore in the bed of the stream, he installed two terminals in the stream and connected them in a very simple way to the accumulators, which he had slightly modified. As a result, an electric current of a certain amperage began to flow into these accumulators. When, after 24 hours, we connected our vibrometers to the electric current thus obtained, it turned out that although its amperage was not sufficient, the number of vibrations produced by that electric current remained unchanged and absolutely uniform during the whole time of its passage through the vibrometers. To increase the force of the electric current, obtained in this original way, he made condensers out of various materials, namely from goatskins, a certain kind of clay, crushed zinc ore, and pine resin, thus producing an electric current of the amperage and volume required for the Rntgen apparatus he had brought. By means of this unusual source of electric current, we eventually proved to ourselves the following. Although this contemporary European invention for the treatment by X-ray of the above-mentioned terrible disease in the whole body of man brings about the atrophy of its center of gravity, it nevertheless greatly facilitates metastases in other parts of the body and favors the seeding and development of the disease in these new places. And so, friend of my friend, once we had become satisfied with this elucidation, my young friend ceased to be interested in the question that had absorbed him, and he returned home to Europe, leaving for our use that source of light which he had created and which required neither attention nor any outside material, and thereafter we gradually installed electric lamps wherever we needed them. Although this unusual source of ours cannot generate sufficient energy for all the lamps we have in our cave, yet by putting switches everywhere and using the energy only when necessary, it is not wasted, and gradually fills the accumulators, sometimes even in such quantity that there is a surplus for various domestic purposes. At this place, in Beelzebub's tales, all the passengers of the trans-system ship Karnak experienced something like a sweet, sour taste in their mouths. This signified that the ship Karnak was approaching some planet where it was about to make a stop that was not originally planned. This planet was the planet Descaldino. Whereupon Beelzebub interrupted his narrative, and he, Ahun, and Hassin, all three, went to their keshas to get ready for the descent to the planet Descaldino. Note: if anyone is, by chance, interested in the ideas presented in this chapter, seriously interested, not taking them lightly, as contemporary people usually do, and if he is endowed with physical, moral, psychic, and material data whose quality is satisfactory according to my understanding, I earnestly advise him to mobilize his forces and, above all, bring together in himself the requisite conditions for becoming worthy to be an all-rights-possessing pupil of my universal laboratory, the laboratory I intend to open after completing my writings, and the creation of which will be connected with the last phase of my intense activity for the good of all mankind.